as one banking scandal gets settled, another one is just getting started.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Yesterday morning, we told you that Standard Chartered Bank was settling with regulators over allegations it hid transactions with Iran. Well, today there's word that a number of other banks, including JPMorgan Chase and Citigroup, are being subpoenaed by regulators in New York and Connecticut. Nothing to do with Iran this time. It's all about charges that these banks rigged an interest rate called LIBOR. Marketplace New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is here to explain. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, first, a refresher on LIBOR, please.
Yes, LIBOR is an interest rate. It governs mortgages, credit cards, student loans. It's set in London every day by a group of 18 banks who estimate how much it would cost them to borrow money. So it's like you're estimating your weight. You're probably going to lie about it, right? So the allegations are just that, back in 2005 to 2007, they inflated LIBOR to make more money. And then in 2007 to 2010, when banks were in trouble, they may have understated LIBOR to make themselves look more creditworthy and that people like them enough to lend to them.
All right. So what's the significance today of this move by the New York and Connecticut attorneys general?
Well, it's the first significant legal action taken by any U.S. regulators, but they're not the only ones. There's been a hilarious lineup. J.P. Morgan disclosed recently it was being interviewed by 7 or 8 regulators, including the SEC, the European Commission, in the U.K., Canada, the Swiss Competition Commission. Everyone's on it. So I talked to Jonathan Armstrong. He's a partner with Duane Morris in London. Here's what he said.
It's almost like the LIBOR scandal is the last train out of town and everybody's running to get on it. There's a lineup of regulators who are sprinting to try and announce their investigations.
And Heidi, why does it seem like the states, rather than the federal government, are at the front of this train leading these charges?
They have advantages when they're leapfrogging. They're smaller, they're more nimble, they tend to have more direct legal power to take the banks to court. That's a good bludgeon. And they get to pick their spots. The federal regulators are tackling a lot of investigations. But the federal regulators are often really annoyed that states get ahead. So it's a very Hello Newman type situation.
Marketplace New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, now to Facebook, which went public back in May with a stock price of $38 a share. This morning, it's around $21 a share. And today, that price could drop even further when a lockup ends and insiders are able to sell their shares. And it's not just Facebook, by the way, that's looking weaker by the day. Zynga stock is now worth 1/3 of its initial offering. Groupon's value is down by half. Marketplace's Queena Kim tells us what all this means for the companies behind those share prices.
Something you hear a lot of in Silicon Valley is, we don't care about the stock, we care about building a great company. But when your stock is worth 1/3 its IPO price, don't you start caring a little?
I think it's always about the stock.
Paul Oyer is a professor at the Stanford Business School, and he says this is especially true when it comes to keeping employees.
When your stock price is doing well, turnover is lower.
Because employees stick around to cash in on their stock options. But when the stock is in the dumps, it can be a great opportunity for competitors to steal employees. Carolyn Hughes is in charge of talent management at Simply Hired, a job search engine.
There's definitely more opportunity to extract talent from struggling organizations.
Hughes says it's not that employees are just seeking out a higher stock price. It's that when your stock is down dramatically, there can be a lot of chaos.
Executives start getting hired and fired. Teams start changing.
Employees might find their projects have been cut, their boss has been fired, and the things they were sticking around for are gone. I'm Queena Kim for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up slightly right now in Singapore, down just a fraction of a percent in London. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 7 points to close at 13,164.
Enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
As the worst drought in 50 years continues to send grain prices through the roof, several governors are asking the federal government to end a mandate that requires that some of the nation's corn be used for ethanol. Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Chris, first of all, remind us what this federal ethanol mandate is all about.
Right. It's a federal requirement that of gasoline sold in the U.S., it contained roughly 9% of it is ethanol. And, you know, Jeremy, it was created by politics, this mandate. No surprise there, I guess. But it was to, well, reduce our dependence on foreign sources of crude oil. Global climate change, a lot of concerns about that. And then as a way to boost rural communities.
So those sound like pretty noble objectives. What's the problem?
Well, the problem is we have a drought. We have real problems with the corn crop and skyrocketing price of food, so much so that now we're talking about a global food crisis. Well, most ethanol in this country is corn-based, and roughly 40% of the crop is going to the biofuels industry, and there are increasing calls to suspend the mandate at this time because, you know, it's just not good to have corn going into cars rather than into the food chain.
So basically, if you took away this mandate, farmers would be less inclined to sell their corn to the biofuels industry, and therefore they would be putting more of it into our food supply, which would bring down prices.
That's right. That's the economics of it. That's the belief. It would at least reduce the demand from the biofuels industry. And I think the politics, Jeremy, are leaning toward suspension. I mean, there's a lot of concern about global food crisis. G20 talking about having a meeting. You have the cattle industry and other industries are calling for suspension. Bipartisan group of senators, a couple of governors. So I think this time, a mandate created by politics will be suspended by politics.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And finally, tech companies in Central Florida have a complaint. The interns they're getting aren't exactly little Mark Zuckerbergs or Marissa Myers. One tech entrepreneur tells the Orlando Sentinel, "We're not really sure what the local schools are communicating to their students." Another says, "We want interns that we can roll into full-time positions, but they're not coming out prepared." Yet another says, "It's so hard to find good 22-year-old workers that we don't have to pay these days." All right, I made that last one up. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.